Good morning. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoth, and you're listening to Dental MD Radio Show. And I've been on the radio for about 8 years now and doing a lot of one-hour shows on various topics in dentistry. I've been practicing dentistry for 30 years and 20 years in the Western Washington area. So I've been practicing my profession according to the principles of natural medicine for about the past 25 years. It took a few years coming out of school to incorporate the principles of natural medicine. I was always, since probably teenage years, a holistic thinker. So thinking about how one thing that I do could affect other things, such as, supplements and nutrition and how that affects the body, how what we eat or don't eat affects the body. And, you know, back in the 70s, that was probably, you know, when that way of thinking became more popular, more well-known. And it's sort of come and gone in popularity since then. These days, there are natural medical schools, such as Bastyr and others, that train physicians. And when they come out, they have an ND, or naturopathic doctor degree, and they have a medical degree. That is a medical degree. It's not an MD, medical doctor, like the allopathic, but, you know, and they're probably limited in how much surgery experience they have, that kind of thing. But it is a four-year postgraduate degree, and it is a doctorate, and they are doctors. And the main principles of natural medicine that I use in my practice of dentistry is using the least toxic materials that are available and really researching to see what is the least toxic, not just saying, oh, the, you know, American Dental Association approved all of these and so I can use all of them, but actually looking to see what the, you know, a little bit higher standard than that for cytotoxicity can be applied and has been applied by some companies that make dental materials. And so having researched all of that, the materials that I've selected for use at my office are pretty carefully screened and studied, researched before they are put on the market. And then I've checked to make sure that cytotoxicity studies are included in the materials that they send me when they want to tell me about the material. They're not just telling me that it's ADA approved, whatever that means, and that it's easy to handle and looks nice once it's in the tooth, matches the tooth color. All of those things are important, but they're not everything. It's also important to compare the different types of plastics and choose the ones that are the most compatible. And there are still no natural dental schools in existence. All dental schools are allopathic. They are Western medicine oriented and not natural medicine oriented. So besides using the least toxic materials, the other main principle is to do the least invasive possible intervention first, to see if that works. And obviously, if the situation is already urgent, then you have to use the appropriate level of intervention for that problem. But when you have a problem that is not urgent, rather than doing something very aggressive, I prefer to start with procedures and ways of approaching the problem that are less invasive. If it's possible to remineralize something, then I'm going to coach the patient on how to try to remineralize the teeth before they become cavitated or have holes. I'm going to help people learn to do this and practice it at home and then recheck things. Anyway, that is less invasive than just jumping in and drilling and filling. So that's my way of understanding how to practice dentistry using the principles of natural medicine. Today's show is primarily going to be about gums, periodontal disease, used to be known as pyorrhea. So you might have heard that term years ago. And mostly people just refer to it as gum disease, but the official term for it is periodontics. So there are still no natural dental schools. All dentists that are practicing holistically or according to the principles of natural medicine, they might also call it integrative or biological dentistry. All of us have learned this outside of mainstream continuing education, continuing education, or other training. And so every holistic dentist, we're not very standardized. There are some groups that are trying to standardize holistic dentistry, biological, integrative, whatever term you want to use, to try to get all holistic dentists to do everything the same way, which is the same thing that the American Dental Association and the insurance industry working with them are trying to do for mainstream dentistry. They want everybody doing everything the same way. If you say you are a dentist, then people should be able to expect when they walk into any dental office to get treatment, certain diagnostic testing and treatment, and they want it to be pretty much standardized and all done the same way by everybody, with the only differences being the personality of the dentist, demeanor, that kind of thing, speed maybe. And in holistic dentistry, still at this point, which I think is a good thing, every holistic dentist has learned different things along the way, and each of us practices quite differently. So I just wanted to state that, because the best thing that you can do as a patient is call more than one dental office and get an idea by talking to their front desk, or maybe having a going in for a second opinion type of appointment, just to meet the staff and the doctor and see whether you feel comfortable with their philosophy and their way of doing everything. And yeah, you're pretty much going to know whether you are comfortable in an office. And it may mean that you have to try more than one dental office to find one that seems to fit with your philosophy, because patients are not standardized either. Every patient has a slightly different or very different level of knowledge about natural medicine principles and how they apply them in their life. Some things that you want to apply are extremely expensive and get put off, and then things become more urgent after a while. And it's not always because of neglect. Sometimes it's because the choices that are available are not to your liking. And so things get put off for various reasons. So when you come into my office, there's no judging. There's no judging. And whatever you have going on at that moment when you walk in, that's what we're going to take care of and address. And people have all kinds of reasons why the situation in their mouth has become the way that it has. And, there's no blaming or shaming involved. It's just, I'd like to hear your story on how it came to be that way in your mouth and what your priorities are and whether you're having sensitivity or pain. And then we're going to look at how to solve it and how to keep it from happening again also. All right. So today I am going to talk about periodontics, which, as I said, is gum disease. And gum disease is one of those areas of dentistry where, it's for a while you're not going to notice that something bad is happening because it's under the gums and easy to mask, easy to ignore, and it doesn't hurt usually. I've actually not in the holistic office, but years ago, before I was working as a holistic dentist, I actually had a patient walk in and hand me a tooth and say, "This tooth fell out last night." And this is an adult, not a kid. The tooth fell out. They unwrapped a tissue and showed me the tooth. And I did an exam, and most of the rest of the teeth were about to do the same thing. So I'm going to, and so it can get very, very advanced and still not hurt. I mean, it really can get all the way to where your teeth are coming out. That's why it's very important to get regular exams and make sure that you are not developing gum disease, because it's a silent way to lose teeth. And it just usually gets worse and worse over time, because it's happening down deep under the gums where it's hard to reach. So, you know, help and training in preventing it and treating it if it's already happening and keeping it from getting worse. Very, very important. Very, very important. And during this show, I'm going to talk about what to look for with children's gums and what to look for in adults for signs of gum disease and gum problems. All right. You are listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. And if you have questions about today's topic or any other topic that I've talked about or haven't talked about, give us a call at the Issaquah office, 425-427-8899. And you can also reach the front desk by email, appointments@naturaldentist.com, and get your questions answered and find out if we are the practice that you want to go to have an exam and treatment. All right, I'll be right back after this break. This is the Dental MD radio show.
So how long has it been since you've been to the dentist?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
I know, going to the dentist can be tough, but did you know that healthy teeth lead to a healthy body?
I know what you're thinking. All dentists are alike. They lure you in for the free exam or, you know, complimentary cleaning. And before you know it, wham, huge dental bill. And did you even need all that work? Well, why not try a different approach? Natural Dental Health Associates in Issaquah specializes in taking care of you. Their easy, no-gimmick, honest approach to dentistry will have you forgetting you're actually in a dentist's office. And the best thing is, they're all natural. Yep, no mercury, nickel, or other harmful chemicals are used. Click on your media player now and get started on the road to better dental health today. Or call 425-427-8899. Natural Dental Health Associates is a proud sponsor of the Dental MD radio show, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Tell your friends about Alternative Talk, 1150.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff, and today I am going to talk about periodontics, which is gums. Perio means around. Dont refers to the teeth. So the thing that is around your teeth is gum tissue and bone, because the tooth is sitting in a little hole called a socket in the jawbone. And it's actually attached to the bone by little tiny hair-like ligaments called periodontal ligament. And they're there as a little cushion so that when you touch your teeth together, then you can compress them a little bit. Like they touch them, and then you can actually squish them a little bit more. And that's, you're using the little sling of the periodontal ligament to, you know, like a shock absorber. And there's one type of ligament that's down on the root in the bone area where the tooth is in the bone. And then another kind of ligament, I think technically the periodontal ligament, is up at the gum line where the gum tissue covers the bone, covers the top edge of the bone, and attaches the gum tissue directly to the root of the tooth where the tooth emerges from the bone. And these little periodontal ligaments cannot attach the gum tissue to your enamel. Your enamel is not attached to the gum. The gum tissue is only attached to the root, but it should start its attachment right at the base of the enamel. Now, for a lot of people, you can see where your enamel ends, and then you can see a little bit of root showing, and then your gum tissue begins. That is not necessarily gum disease. That is a gum defect called recession. So your gums can recede, and that's a separate thing from infection, which is when bacteria invade under the gums and work their way down until they're down below the level of the bone and living on your root. Now, how do the bacteria get all the way down there if your gum tissue is attached to the tooth tightly with these little ligaments? Well, if you leave bacteria and dental plaque, that sort of cheesy, gummy, white film that can be scraped off and brushed off. If you leave that stuff growing around the collar of the tooth, it will irritate the gum tissue. It is irritating. It's full of bacteria, and they are living off of nutrients that are in your mouth, whatever food you're eating and whatever is in the saliva that they like. And they live off of that and grow until your teeth are completely covered with plaque. And around the gum line, the gum tissue finds the waste product from this plaque bacteria to be kind of irritating. And so it responds by becoming inflamed. And that first stage of gum disease is called gingivitis. I'm sure you've heard of that. And if you look in your mouth, you will see that the gum tissue, if you have gingivitis, the gum tissue around the collar of the teeth, it may not be all the teeth, it may just be certain teeth, will be a little bit darker in color, a little more red, a little more swollen, and it might bleed easily when you brush it or floss. So if you notice your toothbrush is pink or you're spitting out blood in the sink, then you probably have inflammation somewhere in the gum tissue. So it'll just be like usually a little tiny bit right after brushing or flossing. So if that is the case, then as long as the bacteria have not begun to invade under the gum tissue, you're still on this side of gum, official gum disease or periodontitis. So gingivitis is like a warning stage. And you can treat gingivitis using, a multitude of different techniques, such as brushing more thoroughly, more often, using toothpastes and rinses that have essential oils that are antibacterial. And, in the mainstream, they would want you to douse your gums with fluoride. In the holistic world, we consider fluoride to be far too toxic to use for just about anything. And so there are lots and lots of other products. You can do oil pulling. You can use any sort of natural herbal thing. But the main thing that you're doing is removing plaque so that your gums can heal on their own. They will heal as soon as you regularly remove the thing that's irritating them. So another cause for gingivitis is food getting stuck between the teeth. That has to be addressed. If you have a metal retainer or a metal wire in a night guard or an appliance that you wear, or metal crowns that have like a metal edge around the gum line area, or any other materials that are foreign, that are in your mouth, and you have gingivitis or redness in the area where that metal is, that could be an allergy. You could be having an allergic reaction to that material. It even can happen around non-metal, so be on the lookout for other kinds of materials as well. But usually it's metal, and most commonly it's nickel. So that is, you have to address that in two ways. One, by making sure everything stays very, very clean, and the other, by replacing the materials that are in your mouth that are causing your gums to react. And nickel's a very common allergen. I have seen statistics that say up to 40% of men are allergic to nickel, and maybe as many as 90% of women are allergic to it. And that is because of exposure early in life to cheap metals, maybe, you know, fake jewelry and that kind of thing that can cause exposure at an early age and sensitization that results in increasingly severe allergic reactions. All right. So that is gingivitis is something that children and adults can suffer from. And kids might have red gums around areas where teeth are getting loose and getting ready to fall out. Just keep those areas as clean as possible. For adults or kids that have teeth that are loose and catching food around them and that kind of thing, oral irrigators are absolutely fantastic. It doesn't matter what brand. They all, as long as it squirts water or whatever you want to put into the reservoir, then it'll work. And you don't want to jam stuff down into the gums, so you want to definitely keep it on a lower setting, low to low medium at the most, and lean over a sink and use the little nozzle and just jet water around the gum line, flood the gum line, flood out any food and plaque and loose stuff that might be between the teeth or under the gums. And you want to do it gently. And you can put a lot of different kinds of things into the irrigator. You can dissolve some baking soda and pour the water that has the dissolved baking soda into your reservoir. Don't ever put baking soda directly into your machine, because that part that doesn't dissolve will sludge up your hoses. So don't do that. Dissolve it in a separate container and then pour that water into your machine. And then you can also use hydrogen peroxide. Hydrogen peroxide is already, the oral rinse that you buy is very diluted, but you can, it's, I don't like the taste of it. I prefer to dilute it further. And so you can cut it by, you know, 50% or whatever you want to. There are herbal oral irrigator solutions that you just, you know, concentrates. You put a little capful in the water and then you use that in your machine. There are lots and lots of different things you can use. Whole salt, you know, is good for injuries and helping to heal because it's full of minerals and it also inhibits bacteria. Any salt water will inhibit bacteria. All right, so oral irrigators are great for anybody, any age, especially if you have little issues like food getting caught and things like that. But right before bed is the best time to do that. All right, I am talking about gum disease or periodontics officially today, and I will talk about kids and adults, and I'll be talking about what it looks like if there's an abscess, what does the gum tissue look like, what kinds of injuries to look for, allergic reactions, and gum disease, which can happen in teenagers and adults. So I'm going to talk about that in the next section. All right. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. You're listening to Dental MD. And if you have any questions about today's topic or any other topic, you can give us a call, 425-427-8899. And you can also reach the front desk with your questions by email, appointments@naturaldentist.com. All right. I'll be right back after this break.
So how long has it been since you've been to the dentist? Yeah, I'm talking to you. I know, going to the dentist can be tough. But did you know that healthy teeth lead to a healthy body? I know what you're thinking. All dentists are alike. They lure you in for the free exam or, you know, complimentary cleaning. And before you know it, wham! Huge dental bill. And did you even need all that work? Well, why not try a different approach? Natural Dental Health Associates in Issaquah specializes in taking care of you. Their easy, no gimmick, honest approach to dentistry will have you forgetting you're actually in a dentist's office. And the best thing is, they're all natural. Yep, no mercury, nickel, or other harmful chemicals are used. Click on your media player now and get started on the road to better dental health today. Or call 425-427-8899. Natural Dental Health Associates is a proud sponsor of the Dental MD Radio Show, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
No other station delivers this much variety. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. Today I'm talking about periodontics, which is gums. All right. So I covered a little bit about allergic reactions and about gingivitis and what to do about it. And if you have kids and you see something on the gums, you might need a little guidance on what are you looking at. And if it's accompanied by pain, then it's possible, two things are possible. If you see a swelling on the gum tissue and there's pain, then either there's a cavity where food is getting stuck, because you see a swelling on the gum, so there's probably food jamming in there. If it's just a cavity that's hurting, you won't see anything on the gums unless the tooth is dead. If the tooth is dead, you're going to see an abscess, you're going to see gum swelling, and it's usually not at the gum line. If it's an abscess, it's usually a little bit further away from the gum line, kind of, you know, if it's a top tooth, it's up closer to the, you know, cheek area. And if it's the bottom, then it's down lower, like into the cheek, rather than being up at the gum line. But sometimes it can be at the gum line, even if it's an abscess, because primary teeth have very short little roots. So when they abscess, it's actually a lot closer to the gum line than if it's an adult tooth that abscesses. When the root is long, you won't see that bump by the gum line. It'll be mid-root or toward the tip of the root. And for kids, one of the main questions to ask is, once the tooth is clean, you know, brushed and flossed and the food is out of there, does the pain go away? If it does, then it's probably just a cavity or a lost filling and food is jamming in there. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the tooth is dying, unless it, once the food is out of there and cleaned off and out of the little crevice, if the tooth continues to hurt, then that means that either the cavity is very deep or something else is going on there. Like the tooth is, the nerve is actually dying. And it all depends on how deep a filling was or how deep the cavity is. Another situation that can result in a big swelling on the gum line is a permanent tooth that is erupting and is coming up in slightly wrong position. Sometimes the permanent molar coming in around age six in the back, it kind of sneaks in and doesn't push any teeth out. It comes in behind all the other teeth. But if it comes in a little bit too far forward, it'll actually destroy the roots of the tooth in front of it. And if it does that, it can kill that tooth and get stuck underneath it and not be able to erupt all the way in, because it came in kind of underneath the baby tooth, a little part of it underneath, like overlapping it where it didn't belong. It was supposed to come in further back, you know, behind it and come up and park next to it without bothering that primary tooth. So I've seen that happen a few times. It's pretty rare. It's called an ectopic eruption of a tooth, a permanent tooth, and it can cause an abscess of the primary tooth, and it can result in, when it gets in as far as it can get and then it gets stalled because it's stuck on the under edge of that primary tooth, then you have a situation where all manner of food and bacteria can get in there and grow and create real havoc. You can see swelling and pus, and it's painful. And yeah, that can be kind of a, you know, situation. And a lot of times you end up removing the affected primary tooth so that that permanent tooth can come the rest of the way in. And now it's in, but it's too far forward. So then you need a little orthodontic treatment to move it back where it belongs to preserve the space for the next permanent teeth that are going to come in a few years. Yeah, it takes a while because that tooth comes in around age 6 and the premolars don't come in until around age 11 or 12. So you got a bunch of years. So you want those primary molars to stay in there and stay healthy if at all possible. A lot of times people will think, well, it's just a baby tooth and it's got a cavity. It's going to fall out anyway. Why should we fix it? Because if you lose those teeth early or you're, you know, possibly taking a chance on a dangerous abscess forming, which can be life-threatening if it doesn't drain in a normal manner. Instead, if that infection goes into the facial tissues and the fascia, which are the spaces between the tissues of the face, the neck, the sinuses, that infection, yeah. Abscesses in primary teeth can be quite dangerous. Some of them drain normally and they don't have a lot of pressure building up. But others don't drain normally, and they will, all that pus will try to go north, and you can end up with a brain abscess, or they might go under the tongue and into the throat area and obstruct the airway. So those two scenarios are rare, very, very rare, but dangerous, and it's better to take care of those baby teeth and not take chances on anything like that happening or having to put a child through having to have an extraction at a young age and then use a space maintainer for years and years and years until the permanent teeth come in. All right. So that was a tangent. But the point is that you're going to see these problems in the gum tissue. Most of the time, that's the first sign that you're going to have that something is wrong. And usually it's on a Friday at bedtime. Just saying. All right. So the other things to watch for with children are, let's see, there can be injuries. There can be an injury to the gum from either a fall or maybe flossing too hard or hitting the gums with a toothbrush or drinking from a straw and having the straw bump the gum tissue. You can end up with a laceration. There are burns. Usually those are on the inside, on the roof of the mouth from soup or pizza or something that's too hot. Hot cheese, gotta be careful. So those are, depending on the severity or whether you can trace it back to an incident. If you were right there and you saw it happen and you know that that red mark on that gum is from that thing that just happened, that's fine. But if you see redness or a problem with the gums and you don't know what happened and you can't ascertain it and they were at a friend's house or they were at school or, you know, something, then it's a good idea to get it checked out because you may not know exactly what it is. It may look like a little injury, but if it hurts or it doesn't go away quickly or it looks more serious and you get that sort of feeling in your gut, like, that doesn't really look right, better get it checked out, then definitely don't hesitate to do that before it becomes an emergency because some of these little gum things can end up being something more serious. All right, so we covered abscesses and injuries and allergies. I had a parent come in with a child who the parent had a question about a dark mark on the gum tissue. And this was a rather pronounced, it looked like a very dark freckle or mole or something like that. It wasn't raised, but it definitely was dark, and it was right on the gum tissue in the front between a couple of teeth. You could see it right on that pointy gum tissue called the papilla. And I looked in and I looked at the rest of the gum tissue, and there were other dark marks in other areas that looked like a normal pigment pattern. There can be pigmentation on the gums, especially, in almost anybody, but usually in people with darker skin, they will have pigmentation in the gum tissue as well. And that's very normal. So in this case, this one spot was slightly darker, but it had a symmetrical spot in the same area on the other side that just wasn't quite as pronounced and lots of other areas in the mouth where there was pigmentation. So we put that on a schedule to just monitor it and make sure it doesn't change or, you know, look different. But that's something that when you look in and you're the parent or the caregiver and you look in and you see darkness in the gums, it could be normal pigmentation. But if you have questions about it or it doesn't look symmetrical, then that's a good reason to get it checked, because there can be, just like on the skin, there can be melanoma and other pigmentation lesions that could be cancer or other types of lesions. So yeah, good to get that checked out. So pigmentation. And then for teenagers, there is a rare gum disease that can be extremely aggressive, fast-moving, and very destructive to the bone. And it's called juvenile periodontitis. And that is basically an aggressive form of gum disease with bone loss in usually teenagers. So just because somebody is young doesn't mean that they cannot get gum disease. It's very unusual. I've only seen it probably twice in my 30-year career, but it is important to have kids and teens get their teeth and gums checked. And that means, you know, sometimes the gum tissue will look perfect on the surface. And then when we get those cavity check x-rays, one on each side or two on each side, those we will suddenly find that there's been a lot of bone destruction going on underneath. So it is important to get the x-rays, because everything can look perfectly normal on the surface looking in, and the x-ray will show whether the bone is normal or not. So as much as I don't like having to take x-rays, there are times when that is the only way that we're going to find the problems. And some of these problems are quite severe, and this kind of very aggressive periodontal disease will result in tooth loss if it's not dealt with aggressively. All right, so today I am talking about periodontics or gum disease, and you are listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. If you have any questions about gum disease, periodontitis, or any other topics that I have talked about or have not talked about, give us a call, 425-427-8899 at the office to set up an appointment or ask questions. And you can also reach the front desk with your questions by email, appointments@naturaldentist.com. All right, you're listening to Dental MD. I'll be right back after this break.
So how long has it been since you've been to the dentist? Yeah, I'm talking to you. I know, going to the dentist can be tough. But did you know that healthy teeth lead to a healthy body? I know what you're thinking. All dentists are alike. They lure you in for the free exam or, you know, complimentary cleaning. And before you know it, wham, huge dental bill. And did you even need all that work? Well, why not try a different approach? Natural Dental Health Associates in Issaquah specializes in taking care of you. Their easy, no-gimmick, honest approach to dentistry will have you forgetting you're actually in a dentist's office. And the best thing is, they're all natural. Yep, no mercury, nickel, or other harmful chemicals are used. Click on your media player now and get started on the road to better dental health today. Or call 425-427-8899. Natural Dental Health Associates is a proud sponsor of the Dental MD Radio Show, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Find out the latest about your favorite shows on Alternative Talk, 1150. Check out 1150kknw.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. Today I'm talking about periodontitis, which is gum disease, periodontics. And I have covered in the previous segments, I talked about pigmentation, abscesses, injuries, impacted food, trauma, allergies, and juvenile periodontitis, which is severe and aggressive gum disease in teenagers, much younger than what you would expect. Now, I want to talk about what happens when adults have pocketing. Because as an adult, you go into the dental office and they check all the teeth, they check all the tissues, the jaw joint, airway screening, whatever they're going to do. And then they also check your gums. And they do this two ways. One is by measuring recession, and that is just to see whether you have roots showing, and your roots might have abfraction lesions, which are indentations from, some people think it's caused by brushing too hard, but actually it seems to be more likely that it's caused by mechanical pressure on the teeth. And that happens when you clench and grind, and it happens on usually worse on the teeth that are rotated or out of position. So sometimes doing orthodontics to position the teeth correctly so that they meet in a way that sends the forces directly up the roots where it belongs instead of sideways, which causes these mechanical indentation lesions along the gum line. And they can happen on the inside gum area or the outside of the tooth, depending on which way the tooth is being pushed when you're clenching. So the recession is one of the things that gets measured. And a lot of times people confuse this with the measurement of the pockets. When the pockets are being measured, that's when it feels kind of pokey sometimes, because they take the little millimeter measuring tool called a probe and they slip it down along the root under the gum. And when it touches the bottom of the pocket, which is where the periodontal ligament is tightly attached to the tooth, to the root, right there when the instrument touches bottom, we take a measurement of where the gum tissue is, and that might be, if it's 1 millimeter, 2 millimeters, or 3 millimeters, that is considered a normal reading. That is a sulcus, not a pocket. So you're supposed to have a sulcus. That's a little indentation right along the gum line. And that's when you floss and you put the floss down and the floss disappears a little bit underneath the gum in between the teeth. That is the floss dropping down into the sulcus. And it can get down about 3 millimeters. And 3 millimeters is about as deep as a normal sulcus should be. 1, 2, or 3 millimeters, depending on where, which tooth and where in your mouth. All right. If the measurement is a 4 or greater, then you now officially have a pocket. Now, 4s are kind of a warning sign. They're not a deep pocket. They are a mild, very mild pocket. And sometimes 4s can be very stable if they're kept very clean and they don't progress, and it's just maybe a tooth is tilted a little bit, and so that gum tissue is a little taller on that side, and you have a 4, or the tissue is a little taller in the back where a wisdom tooth used to be, then that might be a consistently measured as a 4, and that is just an extra deep sulcus area in somebody who has never had gum disease and just has a 1 or 2 4s in areas where the gum tissue is a little bit taller and it's cleanable and it doesn't progress. But 4s have to be watched because the bacteria that live along the gum line can get down. And if they get down to the bottom of that 4, they can be very hard to control and clean out, and they can be irritating. And what they will do if they get down underneath the gum tissue, either at a 3 or a 4 area, millimeter depth area, they will begin to irritate the tissues. And when the tissues get irritated, the ligament that is holding the gum tissue against the tooth will begin to break down. It gets weak and it starts to relax. And then the bacteria say, aha, let's go down another millimeter. And then they keep moving in and keep irritating the little ligament, and the ligament gets lax, and then they move in a little deeper. And before you know it, you've got 5s and 6s and 7s. This is millimeters of depth. That means the bacteria are living 7 millimeters down under the gum on the root of your tooth where it's dark and there's no oxygen and you end up with anaerobic bacteria growing down there. Those are the ones that do the most damage and smell bad. So sometimes bad breath is because of pockets that are deep enough to harbor anaerobic bacteria, among other things, parasites, amoeba, spirochetes, all kinds of nasty microbes will find a happy home undisturbed under the gums deeper than 4 millimeters. Okay, now 4 millimeters these days seems to have become a deep enough pocket. It's officially a pocket, but it's kind of an in-between. It's a very shallow pocket. But it is deeper than a normal sulcus. And so a lot of times dental offices will say, aha, you have fours. Let's do deep cleanings. You need 4 quadrants. We'll get you numb and get in there and scrape the roots nice and smooth and silky and shiny. And that will help control this gum disease. Well, okay, that's, you know, what's standard of care. What I prefer to do for people who have 1 or 2 fours is to do ozone treatments and ozone cleanings. So I will do an ozone treatment, which is just applying ozone gas to the gums using trays to enclose the gas around the gums, which we custom make for people. And we will do an ozone gas treatment to the gums, which is called an insufflation. And as we do that, we are running this ozone through a bottle of water, filtered water. And so that water is humidifying the gas, which makes it less drying for your gum tissue. But we're creating a bottle of ozonated, highly ozonated water, which we then put into the unit and clean your teeth using an ultrasonic instrument with ozonated water in it. So now, as soon as you're done with your insufflation treatment, then we will clean your teeth with the Cavitron using the ozonated water. And the Cavitron is using sound waves, vibrating the water. And the water is ozonated, and it's just being gently guided with the little slender tip under the gums wherever it needs to go. And the vibrations are cleaning stuff off of the roots, any bacteria, food, calculus that's stuck down there will be removed and flushed out of the pockets using ozonated water, which is at the same time highly oxygenating down there where the bacteria that don't like oxygen are living, and we're blowing oxygen down in there, and it kills them, and the water flushes them out of there, and you get nice, fresh, clean pockets, which now have a chance of healing. And the gum tissue, if it's kept clean, the gum tissue will readhere as much as it can to the root. And we will do this every 3 months and keep measuring and making sure that your pockets are not getting deeper and that they hopefully, in many cases, get shallower. We want to try to get your gums from 7s, 6s, and 5s back to maybe mostly 4s and maybe 1 or 2 5s. If you had 7s, you know, we may not be able to completely get rid of those. It depends on how much damage was done under there. The gum tissue can only adhere back to the tooth so much, especially if you've already had root planing done. Then the root is not very good at accepting the little periodontal fibers anymore. So that's one of the reasons I'm not a big fan of the scraping of the roots, because that is, well, not only painful and needs anesthetic, but it does impair the surface of the root. It gets bacteria off of it, yes, cleans it, yes. But now the surface is different, and the periodontal ligament and gum tissue may not be able to readhere as well as it otherwise would have. So that is why I prefer to just do the Cavitron, clean everything up, and then try to get the gum tissue to heal. And we do this every 3 months, sometimes every 2 months, depending on the case. So that's how we treat the actual infection of periodontitis that happens in adults, and we will do the same treatment for juvenile periodontitis, although In that case, because it's so aggressive and severe, I generally want a specialist to be monitoring those severe cases. All right, today was about periodontics or gum disease. My name is Dr. Jessica Sapoff, and you're listening to Dental MD. If you have any questions, give us a call at the Issaquah office, 425-427-8899, or you can reach us by email, appointments@naturaldentist.com. Thank you for listening. I'll be back next week.